We've been looking through Judges, looking at the warfare that Israel faced after they were disobedient to God. That's what you see mostly in the book of Judges. They started off somewhat successful, but not altogether. While under Joshua, of course, you look, and they fulfilled what God had told them to do up until the very end of his life. And then you find out that, they're not as ready to follow God as you would have hoped that they would have been. After being as successful as they was under, I might need my specs. I'm still very tired today. After they'd enjoyed such success, you would have thought they would have been ready to, you know, more to serve God, but you find out there were still idols amongst them, even while Joshua was there. And God, and they was told to put away their idols and, you know, and make up their mind who they was going to serve, whether God or those idols. And they said, well, we have no choice. We're going to serve God. And we find, you know, Joshua reminded them and said, you can't serve God. It ain't in you to serve God. And he said, and God's going to judge you because you're going to half-heartedly follow him, and you're going to set up your own gods. And you know what that is. That's when you're serving yourself, living for yourself. And they was more concerned about, and we know one of the first places it showed up, of course, is when they went into Jericho, and the walls come falling down, and that one old fella, you know, he took what didn't belong to him. It belonged to God. And we still got that going on every day in our churches. Every day, taking what belongs to God. I'm not talking about so much money. I'm just talking about, you know, we're his. We belong to him. I just wrote out a check for some monies. And, you know, the thing of it is, that was only part of what belonged to him. I'm to be a faithful goodman of what God has given me. It all belongs to him, including this body, my mind, my heart, my soul, my time. And I feel like I'm a terrible failure a large part of the time, because there's so much yet to be done. It looks like we're going backwards, folks, instead of forward.
Yes, sir.
Brother Rick was telling me, he asked for, you know, for these five churches. Well, the problem is with something I felt like I'd seen before, and now I'm hearing it all the time, that we got so many people that's come into the ministry that are not fit. They're just not fit for it. Not prepared. And when we first started looking at this battle, that's what we looked like. We looked at over in the book of Numbers. He says, it says that there were to be men who were able to go forth to war. And I'm afraid we got so many people standing in places of authority in our churches are not able. And they're certainly not able to guide other people because they got themselves under control. I remember years ago going attending this Baptist church. That's before I was saved. My father-in-law came along with us, and we attended his church for a little short while. And this guy, he was as wide and thick as he was tall. And I mean, it was really kind of creepy looking, Brother Rick. I'll be honest with you, looking back on it. Had a lady there playing the piano, I mean, she was just as, and I don't mean her skin color, she was just black looking, and she could be her hair dyed jet black, black fingernails, black clothes. It was just kind of creepy looking. You know, I'll just be honest. She just didn't look right. You know what I'm saying? And then this hot air balloon, that's about what he looked like. He was so doggone big, Brother Rick. Enters up into the pulpit and gives his message. And I know my father-in-law just spoke his heart afterwards. I asked him what he thought. He said, that man's going to teach me temperance. He said, he can't even control his own appetite. How's he going to teach me temperance? Something to that. We've got to control our appetites. And it was pretty evident to him that this fella couldn't. And I'm afraid that's what we've got a lot of people in, you know, that are serving God. They still are not able to control their appetites. Now, we've looked at this, how things have come along now, and soon as this crowd dies out that came into the land with Joshua, soon as they died out, the first thing everybody did started serving themselves. They turned away from God, forgot about God altogether, and they started making them gods after their own choosing and following. And I mean, doing some horrific things. You wouldn't believe the kind of stuff that they did. I heard some teaching this past week I thought was really good. It was dealing with this fact, how when right before they was come into the promised land, over in the last part of the first five books of the Bible, which is Deuteronomy, and some people call it Second Leviticus because it goes back over what was lawful. But while Leviticus was more toward the priesthood, this is more towards the you know, just the congregation.
The layman.
Yeah, I don't like that word. I don't call people laymen. Only place I find it in this Bible is not good. I don't call people that. But anyway, the congregation, okay? I just don't do that. See, that's what people try to do. They try to set up a priesthood and a laity that they're over. God never meant that. We're all one. We're all the same.
Amen.
Some of us got different gifts, but laity, that's not a good word. You study it out in your Bible. I think you'll find that.
Mm-hmm.
But let's look here and see what happened. Now they've turned against God. They started worshiping these other gods. Well, God did, you know. Well, I lost my play. But basically, what this fellow was saying, God took them over and read up their 50 curses and 50 blessings, and he said, "Now this is if you are obedient to the word of God, this is what your life's going to be like. You're going to be." This is the blessings that's going to be in your life. But if you are disobedient to my word, these are the things that's going to come in your life. And one of these things would be, instead of being the head, they'd become the tail. And they would be ruled over. Instead of, being able to overcome their enemies would overcome them. And that's what they're warned of. But they don't take heed. And then all of a sudden, they couldn't stand before their enemies, and their enemies conquered them, and several times were about to exterminate them. They were starving them to death. And one of those cases was a fellow by the name of Gideon, where they was taking everything and leaving them nothing to eat. And he was hiding, threshing out wheat, trying to have enough, food that they'd be able to survive. And God says, Gideon, thou mighty man of valor. He said, what? Me? A mighty man of valor? He said, I'm the least. Now, we looked at this, how he saw himself as the least. It wasn't false humility. That's really what he way he felt. And said, and if God's for me, so why things like this? Well, if he'd have knew his Bible, he'd have knew why. God was having to deal with a man that right there in his own front yard, there was an altar to Baal. And we know that he told him, he said, now look, you want me on my side. You want to see me work through you. He said, tear down that altar. He was afraid, but he did. He did what God said. He did it by night. He tears down the altar. He takes and cuts down the grove where they would come and make prayers and worship and burn incense to Baal. And he cut it down. And he put the wood and he prepared an altar for God. And there he offered two bullocks. And God, began to work. He said, how did he work? Well, the next day they were going to kill him. And his daddy saw his courage of tearing down that altar and burning that and doing it for Jehovah. He said, you ain't killing my son. He said, if Baal is a god, let Baal cry for himself. He said, as a matter of fact, he said, anybody that's on Baal's side today, let him be killed this morning. And everybody's like, oh, we ain't on Baal's side. Because, I mean, yeah, he was serious, buddy. There was going to be some killing done. And then when we see something there, God began to give good success. That's where it started. When he obeyed God, tore down those false altars, following after their own way, every man doing what was right in his own eyes, when he began to obey the Word. God said the Word. When he began to obey the Word, not the Baptist, not the preacher. You would believe there's whole congregations that they follow just what the pastor said. You used to work with a boy. I ain't going to call his name out. Nice guy. I think he's a good Christian man. But he always talked about what the preacher said. I said, well, how about what Jesus said? Mm-hmm. How about what God said? Well, he didn't know what Jesus said or what God said because all he did was go to church and listen to the preacher.
Come on.
He opened up his Bible. That's the only time he probably didn't open up then. He probably just carried it in, sat it beside himself.
Yeah.
There's got to be some making up your mind that you're going to go by the Word. That's really why I ask for your prayers, because it's not always that easy. You got enemies in this world. And they're always trying to get you to go against the Word of God. Constantly. I mean, Brother Rick, you ever get up in the morning and you're hurting all over and you just sometimes just don't feel like getting up and doing what you know God told you to do? Don't we all? Brother Jerry, you ever feel like you've kind of gotten about too old to be driving buses for a bunch of bus kids? Huh? Sometimes I feel that way. Sometimes I'll argue with God before. I said, you should. I'm like, I don't think you got the right man for the job. And that's what he said. I'm not the right man for the job, God. God said, just do what I tell you to do. Let me work all that out. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do it. I just want somebody to be obedient to me. He went out there then. We know what he did. And he went out there and, man, they blew the horn in Israel and the people began to gather to him. Who do you think done that? And why did they do that? Because of his first obedience. Boy, they heard how he tore down the altars of Baal. They heard how his daddy stood up to that crowd and said, "You ain't touching my boy. As a matter of fact, we're going to kill who's ever on Baal's side." And the other people started catching fire. You know what that's called?
Revival.
That's what we got to have, men. We ain't the only, and I'm going to tell you what, we ain't the only churches that's recognizing that great need for a revival. Sometimes I wonder if we recognize it. How about you men? Y'all want to see revival? Do you really? I've asked my pastor that. I said, do you really want to see revival? I've asked myself this because sometimes I don't feel like I really do because, you know, if there's going to be revival, somebody's going to pay the price. It ain't just going to happen. You're not going to walk in there and fall down on altars. Oh, God, give us revival. That don't mean a thing to him. It's when you really want it and are willing to pay the price. Is it going to come? You got to be, hey, what did he do? He put his life on the line. This ain't where my lesson was going, but might as well stay here for a little bit while I'm here. But he put his life down on the line because he knew that they would be going to try to kill him, but he put it all on the line for God. Then we know the story of how they went out there and Buddy and they God told them, he said, "You got too many people here with you," and he sent all of you is afraid going back home. And, you know, over half of them went back, but he still had like 10,000 men. He said, "Still way too much, lest y'all say, you know, y'all won the battle by your hand." And we know the story how they one lapped like a dog and the others got down like that, you know, and drank up the water. He said, "One's that lapped like a dog," and it left how many?
300.
Wow. You don't think this is of God? 300 men, they climb up on that hill, look down there, them Midianites, they're like grasshoppers. They're like a plague of locusts. They're everywhere. They own everything. And the Bible said their camels was like the sands of the sea. There were so many. Well, if there's camels was that many, I wonder how many people there was, huh? Well, that wasn't including horsemen. That was camels. And I mean, they was foot soldiers and everything else. There was a huge multitude down there and they covered the ground. There's 300 of us up here. Saying, "Are you sure about this?" I'm sure he was asking, "Are you sure about this, God?" And I think he was a little bit afraid. Because you know what God told him? He said, "I want you to go down to the camp tonight." He wanted to go down and face his enemy and trust again. He had to obey God's word. And what did he do? He said, "Now, if you're afraid, take so-and-so with him." And then he said, "Okay, you'll go with me down in this camp tonight?" And he said, "Yeah, I'll go with you." Oh, God put it in his heart, that's why. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
They go down there, and you hear that one has a dream that night. And the other guy, another Midianite, interprets the dream. You don't think that was of God? You don't think God can use a heathen? You don't think God can use a lost man to do some stuff? You don't think God can use a backslid Christian if he'll just be obedient? He went down there and he heard one say, "Man, I had a dream last night. Said a barley roll come rolling down and knocked a tent down." He said, "Well, this is nothing. But God, you know, tell us the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And that God has given the Midianites extended her hand into his hand.
Because he said he's going to destroy them as one man. Into his hand. He didn't say their hand. He said into his hand. God was going to deliver them into his hand. And so he tells the people what to do. He said they surrounded them. Them 300 surrounded them. Boy, they, I bet they would have been afraid, wouldn't they, if they looked up there and saw them 300 men looking down on them. But God told them what to do. God told Gideon what to do. Gideon told them what to do. He obeyed God. They obeyed Gideon. That's revival. It's catching on. It's going from one man to another man to another man to another man.
Yes, sir.
So then they, we know what they did. Blew the trumpets, broke the thing, shined the light, and everybody began to wake up and saw them light shining. They began to fight one another and killing one another. God turned every man's sword against his neighbor, his friend, and they began to kill one another. And then by that time, I guess it starts getting daylight, and they look around and say, man, that dead man everywhere. And they took off and running. And guess who was following? Gideon and 300. 10,000 men, they're on flight. They ain't a bit afraid now. Huh? The Bible said they were faint yet pursuing. Sometimes, you know, yes, we might get weary, but the Bible said in the New Testament, be not weary in well-doing.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And we know how, you know, the brethren wouldn't help them, you know, by giving them a little food. But he said, I'm going to remember that. We'll be back through here. Mm-hmm. We're going to take care of business. Because mm-hmm. you ain't right with God. You ain't willing to help your own people. And we know that how judgment came upon them. They tore one group with the briars and the other group. And he said he slew them every one. Well, they overcome their enemies. They catch the two that they was wanting to catch. They catch the two kings of the Midianites.
Yep.
Zalmunna and what's that other guy's name? Escapes me right now.
Zebia.
Huh?
Zebia.
Yeah. And he tells him, said, I tell you what you do. You tells your boy, says, fall on them, destroy them. And he being young, he was afraid to do it. But his eye moon and that other fella, he says, as he said, more or less him says, no, you do it then. And he did. He took their lives. Afterwards, the men took of the spoil, and they wanted to make Gideon to be king. Him and his son. He said, no, no, God will be king over you. That was wise. He had been very successful in that he had obeyed God. He had obeyed God's word. But you know what? He did like so many of us. He didn't fully follow it. For the next, what you see happen next, is he said, what I would from you, he said, I want the earrings of all the prey. And he took all those earrings. And you know, when the earrings they used to wear there was usually a symbol of their gods and stuff. And they took them earrings, and the Bible says he took them, and he made an ephod out of them, and he set it up in his hometown for a place to come worship God, the Lord, Jehovah. Where were they supposed to worship the Lord? Where?
Jerusalem.
Where? Yeah, they were supposed to go worship him where the tabernacle was set up. It was probably in tatters by now, but it was still there. If he was going to do anything, he took that stuff and went back, hey, where it was set up. But instead, he set up an ephod there, and the Bible said
It became a snare unto him. And then all the people went a-whoring after it. They did it all through the Bible. God told them where to come worship, and they set up high places to worship God that God told them not to do, but they did it anyway. Whether it be, hey, you can do a lot of things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and His Father Jehovah, but I'm telling you, huh? If you don't do it their way, if you don't do it the right way, you can do all kinds of things. You can do it in their name. You mean well. I mean, I know you've heard this old adage many a time. The road to hell is paved with good intentions. And we got to be careful, those of us that are true believers, that we're given the right information. I heard just this morning, well, part of our problem with getting ministers into these churches, we're basically reaping what we've sowed into them. Preachers is just what they've been taught to be. It's always amazed me, Brother Jim, is how if you get a man and he starts pastoring a church and he graduates to some college, you know who comes to speak in that church? 90%?
Yes, sir.
Somebody come out of their college. Mm-hmm. And the Bible tells us plainly we need to beware of a philosophy. And every major college across this country has a philosophy. I don't care if it's Christian or if it's, you know, they have a philosophy. I remember right after I first got saved and got over the gospel light, one of the things I began to hear and see oftentimes, there were three major camps in the independent Baptist churches. Some of them, it was the Word, the Word, the Word, the Word, the Word. Well, it is the Word. Others, it was soul winning, soul winning, soul winning, soul winning. And it is soul winning. And there was another campus, separation, 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 separation. There's a ditch on every side of the road. We've got to be balanced. We have to be balanced. All three of those things are good, but why did they separate the churches into three major camps? Why did that happen? Is that way God is? That's right, man. Because it became a philosophy more than the Word of God. And that's what we got to be careful of. We've all got it. I got a philosophy. It's the way David Leslie thinks. You know what? It don't matter what I think. It don't matter what Dr. Bottlestopper thinks. Another thing that always bothered me, why do they want to be called doctor? Well, ain't that kind of a step down? Huh? You're pastoring a church and you want to be called doctor? To me, that's kind of a step down. I never have understood that. Tooth dentist, that's a doctor? Huh? Foot podiatrist, that's a doctor? We're talking about somebody that is concerned about people's souls and trying to give them the Word of God. Why in the world? Hey, how many people, you look at that Bible, them doctors in the Bible, what good thing did it have to say about them, Brother Rick? Why in the world would they want a title like that? That's just like saying, let's name our church First Corinthian Baptist Church, huh? Huh? Or, hey, Laodicea Baptist Church. That's what a lot of them are.
Uh-oh.
The church of the people. And that's what happened here. The What I want to bring us to our mind is this. Hey, success. What can happen with success? And the dangers of success. Independent Baptist churches had some success when they separated from the Southern Baptists and they began to preach the Word of God. But you know what happened? Same thing that happened to the Southern Baptist churches. They fell into the same kind of trap. It all became more about the men than it did the Lord. And now that's the reason why there's such a mess hitting the fan now. And there he is. You can go out and write. You want to see? Now we had one crew fail. And now there's another one coming along. You know why? Because they passed it on. He went over there and he set up that and said, all of Israel went a whoring after it. And look what happens after that. Hey, he was successful. He did what God said. He was blessed of God and the people were delivered. And the Bible said all the time that he was alive, they followed after Israel. But you know what happened when he died? He had 70 sons. You know why he had so many sons? Because he had so many wives. We know that that's not what God intended. We saw it time and time again, the problems that caused when men deviated from the Word of God.
Yes, sir.
And he had these 70 sons that they all rode on, jackasses, you know, donkeys. That's some big ones. That's what it said about him. Had 70 sons. But he also had a concubine, and he had a son by it. Let's look over here, and I'm just going to read probably for just the rest of the time and look and see how this thing fell out. Beginning in verse 23, it says, and Gideon said to them, and that's Judges chapter 8, I will not rule over you, neither shall my son rule over you. The Lord shall rule over you. And Gideon said unto them, I will desire a request of you, that you would give me every man the earrings of his prey. For they had golden earrings, because they were Ishmaelites. And they answered, we will willingly give them. They spread a garment, and they cast therein every man the earrings of his prey. And the weight of the gold earrings that he requested was 1,700 shekels of gold, besides ornaments and collars and purple raiment that was on the kings of Midian, besides the chains that were upon the camels' necks. And Gideon made an ephod thereof, put it in his city, even in Ophrah. Catch that name. We've got a lot of people falling after Ophrah nowadays. Ophrah. And all Israel went a whoring after it, which thing became a snare unto Gideon and to his house. And thus were Midian subdued before the children of Israel, so they lifted up their heads no more. And the country was in quietness 40 years in the days of Gideon. And Zerubbabel, the son of Joash, went and dwelt in his own house. And Gideon had 70 sons of his body begotten, for he had many wives. And his concubine that was in Shechem, she also bore him a son, and he called Abimelech. And Gideon, the son of Joash, died in a good old age and was buried in the sepulcher of Joash, his father, in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. And it came to pass as soon as Gideon was dead, that the children of Israel turned again and went a whoring after Baalim and made Baal Bereth their god. And the children of Israel remembered not the Lord, their God, who had delivered them out of the hands of all their enemies on every side. Neither showed they kindness to the house of Zerubbabel, namely Gideon, according to all the goodness which he had showed unto Israel. See, he took and he taught them falsely. He led them in a false way, Brother Rick. I don't think he did it on intention. I think the man loved God. I think he believed in God. He saw his power and how he had blessed him. And all the years he was alive, 40 years, there was quietness because of his obedience. But also there's going to be judgment for his not being obedient to the Word of God. You said, how is that? Because he didn't teach them correctly. He set up this thing. Hey, where's the priests at? Where are them that's supposed to be teaching them the Word of God? Where are those, you know, it wasn't going on because they were where they were supposed to be at this time. He had set up this altar, and every man come there to worship God. It wasn't long before they all had went back. And his own sons, one was there. I don't know how many of them was there, but I know that one was there. When God give that great victory, for he told him to fall on them kings and kill them, but he would not because he was young and he was afraid. I'll tell you what will happen a lot of times. If we don't put something in it, if we don't put some grit in our young people, they'll go with the crowd. We don't put something in them to say, hey, to go with God is the majority, then they'll go with the crowd. They'll say, oh, you're just being funny. That it ain't that bad. These other versions of the Bible ain't that bad. Mm-mm. You know, this new way of worship ain't that bad. This, you know, whatever, it's not that bad. And I have to say, sometimes I can see their point, but because they look at us that are traditional and are following after this King James Bible, that we're not looking so good in their eyes, maybe. Just like, he wasn't looking too good in the eyes of his son. And then he went on and look at what happened. After that, and Abimelech, the son of Jerubbaal, went to Shechem unto his mother's brethren and communed with them, with all the family, the house of his mother's father, saying, speak, I pray, in the ears of all the men of Shechem, whether it better for you, either that all the sons of Jerubbaal, which are 70 persons, reign over you, or that one reign over you. Remember also that I am your bone and your flesh. My mama was from right here. And his mother's brethren spake of him in the ears of all the men of Shechem all these words, and their hearts inclined to follow Abimelech, for they said, he's our brother. And they gave him 70 pieces of silver out of the house of Baal, Bereth, wherewith Abimelech hired vain and light persons which followed him. Mm-hmm. He went into his father, and that's the kind of people that follow people like that. Vain and light persons. They see an opportunity to be somebody. They see an opportunity to be lifted up. See, these ain't humble at all. These are proud, trying to lift up themselves in the eyes of the people. And he went to his father's house at Ophir and slew his brethren, the sons of Jerubbaal, being 70 persons upon one stone, notwithstanding. Yet Jotham, the youngest son of Jerubbaal, was left, for he hid himself. And all the men of Shechem gathered together, and all the house of Milo went and made Abimelech king by the plain of the pillar that was in Shechem. And when they told it to Jotham, he went and stood in the top of Mount Gerizim and lifted up his voice and cried and said unto them, hearken unto me, ye men of Shechem, that God may hearken unto you. The trees went forth on a time to anoint a king over them. And they said unto the olive tree, reign thou over us. The olive tree said unto them, should I leave my fatness, wherewith by me they honor God and man, and go to be promoted over the trees? And the tree said to the fig tree, come now and reign over us. And the fig tree said to them, should I forsake my sweetness and my good fruit and go to be promoted over the trees? Well, we ought to ask ourselves if we ought to give in to this kind of stuff. You know what God has given us? We need to hang on to those things. That's what them trees are saying. God has made me, hey, to be the fatness of God. I'm not going to go to, you know, rule over you. But we got a lot of people that they want to do just very thing. It's like the fellow said about them, you know, the, I don't use the word enough to even know what it means. I mean, to remember. About the difference between a preacher and congregation. What was that word you used again?
Laity.
Laity. Because that's what they want. They want to rule over the people. I ain't no dictator, a man may say. I'm the only tater.
That's been said.
Huh?
That's been said.
Yeah, anytime. Well, if you're the only tater, then you about like the Catholic Church. Because that's what the Catholic Church says. You're not the church. We're the church. You're the sheep. Mm-hmm. And we're guiding you, and... If you do everything we say, you might escape the damnation of hell. Well, they don't teach it. They're the church. They're just the flock of God. That's what a laity is, too, by the way. They're underneath. They're underneath. They're just the flock of God. We find out here, and he says, and then said the trees unto the vine, come down rain over. And the vine said to them, should I leave my wine, which cheereth God and man, and go be promoted over the trees? Then said all the trees unto the bramble, come thou and rain over us. And the bramble said unto the trees, if in truth you anoint me king over you, then come and put your trust in my shadow. And if not, let fire come out of the bramble and devour the cedars of Lebanon. Mm-hmm. Now, therefore, if you have done truly and sincerely in that you have made Abimelech king, can you not see that? Can you not see that? Today, it's just, I mean, it's like a bunch, it's like a thicket of thorns everywhere you look. Everybody's talking, everybody wants to talk about, you know, getting America to return to God. We got to get the church to return to God.